This is the Weekly Scramble, a place where we chat about life over a cold one or two. It's time to belly up to the pod with Mike Fratelloni and your host, Chris Reavers.
Yes, sir. It's time for the Weekly Scramble. My name is Chris Reavers. By my side, his name is Mike Fratelloni with Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores. Hello, Michael.
How you doing, Reavers?
I'm good. We were, full disclosure, we did have a show last week that you and I had previously recorded, so we were both out of town on vacation with our families over the week. So I got to tell you something. You were right.
I think I'm right about a lot of things, but what was I specifically right about this?
Well, okay, so I have always contended that I like to travel a certain way because I like seeing the country.
Americana.
I like being on the open road with nothing but time to kill, right? I do enjoy it.
Sure.
To a certain extent.
So the drive was taxing, is what you're
saying.
Well,
the drive down, for the first time, I was accompanied by my beautiful wife and my sons.
Awesome.
First time we've ever done it that way. And it was because the boys had always wanted a road trip with me. And that went great. We did Garage Logic on Friday afternoon. I hightailed it home, picked him up, and we hit the road. We got all the way down to, I think, Topeka, Kansas. And a couple of quick stories. My wife is really, really bad at booking hotels and things like that. And it's not that she's deliberately trying to find somewhere seedy. It's just that she doesn't really do a ton of research.
Sure.
She's only looking for, okay, does it have a gym? Does it have a pool? Is there breakfast included? You know, just typical mom things that you're looking for. So she says, well, hey, I found a place. It's not too terribly expensive because we rolled into town at about 10 o'clock at night, right? It was late. We're tired.
Yeah, man.
So, and I'm hungry. You know, the boys, we were eating on the way down, but I don't eat because once I eat, I get tired. And I don't want to get tired when I'm behind the wheel.
Sure.
So I was going to wait till we get there. And I had a chuckle because as we pulled into the parking lot, there just so happened to be a restaurant right next door.
Okay.
Hooters.
Hooters.
Not even next door, Mike. They shared the same parking lot.
Maybe your wife's an angel for picking that place.
Could be.
Yeah.
To the point where the youngest one says, well, do they serve owl? Like, well, I don't understand. Because, you know, they had the giant owl
on
the thing. And I said, no, that's not really what they serve there, buddy. It's chicken wings and things like that. Oh, okay. And we go in and check in. So anyway.
Did not take him there?
God, no. I mean.
Are you kidding me? Have you ever been to a Hooters? They're the most benign nothing. Right? They're nothing. Who cares?
A kid
has to learn.
We're all, because we've got a long day the next day on the road. So it was, we're here to take a shower, crash, and get up and get back on the road as soon as possible the next morning.
I think I took my nephew to a Hooters, and he was real young. He was like 8 years old.
Oh.
And the waitress came over, and he said, hey, you want to see something cool? I thought, oh, what's he going to do? And he got down and started doing push-ups. I thought, ladies and gentlemen, I think my nephew might be straight. Because it was like, how do I impress this girl? I'm going to do some push-ups on the ground.
I know. I'll do some push-ups. Oh, my God.
I was like, there you go, buddy.
That's
you
funny.
You already get how to pick up girls.
Was that the one at the Mall of America?
No, this was a different one. I'm forgetting where. Yeah, it must have been the Mall of America. Yeah, this was years ago.
Okay.
It was pretty darn funny, but just to jump down on the ground and say, I'm going to do push-ups to show her what I got. And I was like, you go. You go.
So we continue on, and we got to do the Four Corners, which was very, very cool. It was really windy and cold though that day, so it was pretty tough standing there. You know, just getting the photo and things like that.
Kept pushing you out of Nevada or what?
Each one of us picked a state. I think I got stuck with New Mexico, but it was kind of neat to say we did that.
Yep.
You know, and then we get back in, and then we stood on the corner, Winslow, Arizona.
Oh,
we do that.
Such a fine sight, I heard.
And I get to buy a T-shirt for $30. And then we finally get to our destination. We get checked into the house we rented. Everything was great. I'll save part of that for later. So then we go to not one, not two.
Oh, no.
But three baseball games, Michael.
And one was a college baseball game.
And you know whose idea that was?
It can't be your wife's.
It was my wife's idea.
Why? What is she?
I think she's playing the long game here.
Okay.
I think she's trying to show them isn't this a great place to come and watch? Maybe you should move down here.
Because
my wife hates winter.
Okay.
With a bloody passion.
Sure,
hates winter. So I think she's playing the long game. You're trying to set this up like, you guys should move down here. That way I have a place to go
visit.
So I think that's what it was.
And the boys all wanted to go to these three games?
Oh, it was a blast. We had a good time.
Yeah, but I didn't ask if you had a good time.
Yes.
I asked, did they want to to the games? They did?
Oh, for sure. What? In fact, they were bummed that we didn't get to Phoenix soon enough on Sunday to attend a spring training game on Sunday, because we didn't pull into town until about 7 o'clock Sunday night, 6 or 7 o'clock in that area on Sunday night. And I know you're giving me that look.
That is really sweet. I did not go to any baseball games.
Because you were in Florida.
I was in Florida.
Yep.
I did not, but on my flight back, and this is kind of weird for me to talk about, but I'm going to talk about it anyways, because I saw a local Minnesota hero, Joe Mauer.
Oh, sure.
On our flight home.
Oh, you're
right?
Kidding. Okay.
And
because he has a place in Fort Myers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he does. And I don't know where, but down there someplace. And he sat two rows in front of me on the plane.
Okay.
In Comfort Plus. And so I'm frugal. I was in Comfort Plus, right? My wife was in Comfort Plus. My kids were way back in the plane. I had no idea. Like someplace south of
Are
us
they
on the
on
plane.
Here? Okay, cool.
I saw them walk on. Actually, I don't even technically, I got on before them because they weren't in my class to get in, right? So they got on and they're old enough that they can do that by themselves. But I was weirdly proud of Joe that he didn't take a $50,000 flight in a private jet down there, right? And you had said that he's pretty frugal. And I find that so refreshing, and I'm so excited for him that he's doing that, and he is incredibly philanthropic. You know that, right?
Oh, for sure.
Like,
yep.
CDH has the Joe Mauer Fieldhouse, right?
Yep.
Joe's a young man, and he gave them money for the Joe Mauer Fieldhouse at Creighton-Durham Hall. He does My Kids Go to Nativity, and he gives like a $15,000 prize away for Nativity for a charity auction.
Cool.
And I thought, well, maybe he's... Because he had to make $400 or $500 million playing baseball.
I don't think it was that much. But
with all the ancillary stuff, like how much did he make in sponsorships and all that
stuff,
sure. Right?
Yeah.
Let's say $300 million. Well, that's enough to be able to fly first class no matter what,
yeah.
Right? And or private, because that's plenty of money private. But I was so excited to see him on the flight. And I was like, wow, this is an example of an athlete that every person would want their kid to become that athlete. He's got a beautiful family. He's super generous, like incredibly philanthropic.
You don't worry about him off the field at all?
Nothing about that. He looks like just a proud dad and just a nice guy.
He's a blue-collar guy from St. Paul.
And how cool is that?
It's very
right?
cool.
And
yep.
I was just, so I saw him and I said, hey, Joe, congratulations on your Hall of Fame entrance. Like, that was so cool. And I said, it must be a big deal to you because I felt like it was a big deal to me, and I'd assume for you it was even more than I felt, right? And I really did, because he's, you know, hometown hero, and he's just such a nice guy. But I think I was more impressed. It's very impressive that he made the Hall of Fame, but I was more impressed that he's not a moron with a $79 million jet that he drives up in his Maybach.
Because there are athletes that will do that and blow their money.
Yeah. And Joe will be able to give generously like he's been doing. He and his wife, it's not just Joe, it's he and his family, give generously for lifetimes if he keeps doing what he's doing. And it's just super, super cool. That was my cool claim to fame. And then I saw, you know who else I saw? Oh, crap. We were just talking about him. Couple shows ago, you were saying that a guy had a Me Too movement or something where he said something wrong and he had to start a gambling thing. He's an older,
Louis C.K.?
No. Okay, wait one second.
Minnesota connection.
No, not Minnesota. Not Marv Albert, but somebody like Marv Albert that said something, then he went into the gambling world. He started a gambling
Brett Musburger.
Site. Brett Musburger. He lives by my parents down there.
You're kidding
me.
No,
so he was at the pool. I was like, well, what are the chances that we just talked about him? Literally
maybe
on our show.
Maybe he listened to the show.
Maybe. And then he was right there. I was like, oh,
did you introduce him to the podcast?
No, I didn't say, hey, we just talked about you and your... Because I couldn't remember if he had a Me Too movement or if he said something...
Well, no, it wasn't really a... Excuse me. It wasn't necessarily that. He just got a little pervy on A.J. McCarron's fiancé, now wife, at the national championship game.
Oh, really? Well, that's nothing.
I didn't think it was a big deal, but some people made a big deal of it.
Yeah, but he was there, and he looked like he was doing well. His all family was there. We were all sitting down by the pool together.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and I was like, what are the chances? I didn't want to take a picture of him. Nicole said, do you want to go get a picture with him and send it to Reavers?
Why not?
I don't care. I was like, I don't know. The only reason I can think of Reavers. Okay, so let me explain to you down where this is, where I went. The storm came right through Naples and Padilla.
Sure.
And so everything got destroyed. Well, there's a bunch of houses down there, and I don't live in one of those houses down there. I live in the condos down the way, right? And the only reason I have one of those is because my parents gave it to me, right? They own them, and we get to stay in one of their places. Super generous of my parents, right? They don't technically give it to us, but you know what I mean, uh-huh. Right? We can use it. It's a family thing. And so these houses that were, one point in time in 1990, they were 500,000. Then they decided to be 2.5 million. And then when they got to 2.5 million, everybody knocked them down and built $7.5 million houses. And then the $7.5 million houses lasted to about 2000. And then someone said, well, we really need $15 million houses here. So now they're all $15 million. Then the storm came, and the storm whipped half of them, had enough damage that the people said, let's knock this one over because now we have the storm damage and let's build a new one. Someone's building a $45 million house on the beach in Bonita Springs.
Wow.
And I'm looking at it and I'm like, what? What? Who has, and this is not like a city block long, like, you know, a block by block of beach. This is your next door neighbor. You could throw a newspaper to and hit, right? I mean, you are right next to another house. And I thought, who is that guy who's building a $45 million house? And it's two houses with this skyway to it. And his mother-in-law is going to have half.
Oh, God.
And he and his wife are going to have the other half. And I don't know who it is. I am sure I could find out because everyone down there is from Minnesota. Everyone down there is from Minnesota. And I just think, I'm really excited to see who that is. But it's funny, in my lifetime, right? It's longer than my lifetime, but my memory of like in college from 1991 when we first started going down there, the houses have like regenerated themselves over and over. They just keep knocking them down. And I remember my dad and I looking at one of the houses. I'm like, $1 million. Who would spend $1 million to be on the beach? And now that house, it's been ripped down twice or three times.
Sure.
Just the property's worth $6 million or whatever. I'm like, what is going on?
Wow.
They don't make more beachfront property, FYI.
Well, that's just it. And that's part of what I was going to bring up is the fact that the last time I was in Arizona was about 6 years ago. My mm-hmm. wife she works for Park Nicollet, and they do a conference down there. And so I've been able to tag along a couple of times. And I remember just the drastic change between that time and now where I am not kidding. I did a lot of driving.
Yeah.
You can't go 2 miles. It's just like Florida in Arizona. You cannot go without seeing another. Oh, they're building another set
another
of.
Place.
It's un-freaking believable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, because I met up with my buddy Troy, who happens to be a huge listener to the show. And he was telling me that when he and his wife moved down there, he's a Faribault, Minnesota guy. When he and his wife moved down there about 2.5 years ago, they couldn't even put a bid in on a place because if you want like a property, if you want a house, well, good luck to you because you're going to get outbid before you even think about going to look at the place, let alone make a bid on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and that will obviously 2022, the housing market was on fire back then, but it's still somewhat the case now because that's why all these condo buildings and what do we call those? It's, low maintenance living, you know, where you don't have to worry about
nothing outside.
About, correct. Yeah. So it's a lot of those that are being built and thrown up. It's like, my God, we on all of our trips, we could not believe how many we saw. It was
Arizona too. You can just keep growing out, right? There's no line of water that stops you from growing out.
True.
But in this Fort Myers, Bonita Springs, Naples area, you can go to the middle of the state, right? You can go away from the coast, and everything's going out from the coast.
Sure.
Where they're just building brand new, these housing developments in these communities. And it's really cool, but I'm going to tell you, I really enjoy it down there, right? I've been going down there pretty much all my life.
But you're ready to come home.
But it is driving, and driving can take 10 minutes or an hour and 10 minutes to go to the same distance, depending on what time you leave.
Sure.
The only nice part is I like to usually eat a little early, but we said, hey, let's eat at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and the restaurants are empty by 7:30.
Oh, sure.
Someone starts eating at 4:30, another group comes in at 5:30, and then by 6:37, Everyone's gone. So you have pick of the litter with all the restaurants, and you can drive back and forth.
Everyone's in bed by 8:15.
I mean, I get it, right? Yeah. If you have nothing to do and you're just kind of waiting to go to dinner, you go to dinner at 5 o'clock. You know, you're like, you don't want to wait till 8 o'clock to go to dinner.
Sure.
But you do have to get adjusted to that. And it's something about traffic. It just drives me bonkers.
Speaking of that, yes, that was the other part where I was going to say. So basically, the extent of your spring training baseball activity was you meeting Joe Mauer on the airplane.
That's right. And just me just beaming in pride of what an impressive Minnesotan he is, right? Just a guy that I just want my kids to know, and what a great, I wish my, I just, everybody's cool. They're just so impressive. Yeah. Yeah.
So you were right.
Was I?
You were. I set forth to come back to the great state of the great overtaxed state of Minnesota Friday morning.
Okay.
I drop off Jess and the boys at the airport.
So they drove down with you, but then
they flew home.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
Because that was enough for them.
Sure.
The one drive down. And then we did a couple of excursions. We got to go see the man-made lake. In Phoenix, it's huge and it's sure. very, very cool.
Okay.
And there's a lot of hiking trails.
Did you see the automotive barnyard thing that
no.
you were going to drive by that where the trucks are planted in the ground in Kansas?
But when we drove through there, because when we drove by it, it was dark.
Sure.
So it was kind of like, we could stop, but I don't really want to stop.
I did think about it though.
Okay. I really did. So coming back, we had to check out of the house by noon.
Yep.
And their flight was at 9:45 in the morning. So I had to get them to the airport by about 7:30, yep, yep. You know, whatever. And Phoenix traffic in the morning is god awful.
Sure.
Afternoons, it's not too bad, but in the morning, it's really bad. And so we got up, got in the car, got them to the airport, get back to the house by 8 o'clock or whatever it was. So then I begin the process of packing all the S up. You know, we got to pack everything up. We got to pack the truck. And I want to pack in a certain way where I can grab stuff as I need to, because you know, I needed to spend the night
sure.
on my way back.
Yep.
So I'm packing up the food, I'm packing up this, I'm packing up that. I finally hit the road at about 10:30 Friday morning.
Okay.
My goal was to get to Salt Lake City by Friday night, because I thought, well, if I do that, I think I can get all the way back home the next day,
sure.
getting in late. That was my plan.
Is that the most direct route? That seems like a... So you went from... I mean, I'm just trying to picture it. You went
straight north.
There's no somewhat angled off
There's
road that takes you?
There's two different ways you can go. You okay. can either go through, like when we came down, we did the southern route through New Mexico.
Okay.
And that way. And that took a little bit longer, but we weren't in a hurry.
Yeah, yeah.
But the way back, you can go through Salt Lake City and then through Wyoming and whatnot, or you can go through Colorado. Well, they were going to get snow.
Oh, okay.
And so
okay.
I didn't want to do that and risk the chance of getting
stuck.
Caught in yep. you know yep. in the Rocky Mountains in a snowstorm. Mm-hmm. That was like the worst possible scenario.
Sure.
So I'm looking at the map before I leave, and I think, well, there's two routes I can take to Salt Lake City. One is the direct route through Flagstaff,
mm-hmm.
which we somewhat came down that way, and driving through the mountains, they got snow on our way down, and it was a little harrowing
sure.
at times. And so, well, I already did that. I want to go the other way. So I wanted to do the other route, which clipped the southern tip of Nevada and then shot straight up towards Salt Lake City.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go. We're going to do
it. It's going to be great.
Three-lane highway gets reduced to one lane about an hour and 10 minutes in because of a car accident.
Oh, no.
And I don't know if you know this, but you're bleeped because there's no
way to get off.
There's no other route.
Sure.
Like this is the way.
Yeah.
So that kind of set me back a little bit. I barely got to Utah Friday night.
Okay.
Utah's a big state.
Yeah, it takes a long time to get through.
And so I checked in at some podunk Motel 6 in the middle of freaking nowhere.
Nice.
To the point where I didn't even want to shower when I got there because I just thought, ick.
You just laid on top of the covers.
Exactly. And, yeah. That's exactly what I did. Yeah. I'm watching the college basketball game going, I'm just going to nod off for a few hours and I'm getting the hell out of here as soon as I can.
Yeah.
So then I get in, we get through Utah, and of course, I hit a snowstorm on Saturday. And I'm thinking, okay, well, what am I going to do here? So I end up, I'm going through Utah, and then I'm kind of going through Wyoming, and I'm not going, you know, it's a 70 or 80 mile an hour speed limit, mm-hmm. but I'm going 62
sure.
because the weather's lousy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I barely get to South Dakota. I'm in Rapid City. I'm like, I've been in the car for 13 hours. Oh, I'm exhausted.
No. Oh, no.
The only cool thing was I did end up making it to Wall, where my wife went to high school.
So
I ended up
there, maybe?
I stayed at her best friend's family's hotel that they own in Wall. So I got to stay there.
That's nice.
That was kind of cool. But by God, by the time I got home, I was done. I said, I'm never doing this again.
Sure.
I'm going to travel like a normal person from here on out.
Yeah.
You were right.
Yeah.
I need to stop traveling that way.
Don't give up. Don't give up.
No.
Because just think of all the times you had a great time doing it. Right? So that's 1 out of 20 that was sour.
That's true.
Right?
That's
so it's true. It's 5% sour, 95% sweet.
And, again, all of those little, I got to do the Hoover Dam.
Yep.
Which was cool.
Yep.
And I've done it before, but it was kind of cool to do it again. And I still don't for the life of me realize
how big it is.
Well, not only that, but there are people who do the overlook on the bridge way up there where the freeway is. I'm thinking, I'm getting nervous watching them up there. I can't even imagine being up on that overlook. Looking down on everything.
What are you nervous about?
Do you know how far up in the air that is? Looking down at the where we are, where the Hoover Dam is?
Yeah, and?
Oh, God.
I think people who are afraid of heights fear that they're going to jump.
I'm getting jittery thinking about it now.
Never would think about it at all.
That's
really funny.
But I can tell you one thing. One thing that saved me. Let's see, this would have been...
Podcasts.
No, this would have been that too, but this would have been Saturday night in the beautiful metropolis known as Wall, South Dakota. And that was my bottle of Harmony Spirits.
Oh.
It's all I kept thinking about.
Perfect.
We'd like to welcome Harmony Spirits back in the fold here on the Weekly Scramble podcast. They've been with us, God, how many years now has Harmony been with us?
It's been
a while. But they are back. And you know what? It's going to be great to be working with these guys once again. HarmonySpirits.net, that is their website. And if you go to their website, you can see all sorts of tastings and all sorts of cool events that they have tied in. I know they do really cool car shows down there at their tasting room in Harmony, Minnesota. And they do make wonderful handcrafted spirits right here in the great state of Minnesota. And I got to tell you, the bourbon got me through Saturday night.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you that right now. Because that was the one thing where you can be like looking forward to, okay, this is harrowing and this is everything, but I'm going to get checked in. I'm going to put on college basketball and I'm going to pour myself a nice tall, maybe two cubes with my bourbon. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to it. I know Mike is as well with our continued relationship with our friends at Harmony Spirits. You can also visit their Twitter account, or X as we like to call it now, at Harmony Spirits on social media. But do this for me, please. Go into your local liquor store and ask for their Harmony brand by name, because I don't think that people realize just how big of a voice that they have when it comes to things like that. So please do us a favor and ask for the Harmony brand by name. We would really appreciate it. So I neglected to bring this up yesterday on Monday Night Sports Talk, but you know what? I'm almost glad I did forget.
Really?
Because you know what happened over the weekend?
I've been so out of it.
I have to a certain extent too, and it almost bums me out that I wasn't able to watch most of this in real time, but my school, Minnesota State Mankato, became history makers over the weekend.
How?
Do you know this?
No.
They not only won the Division II National Championship in men's basketball.
Okay.
They won the Division II National Championship in women's basketball.
Really?
Only the second time in the history of college basketball that's ever been done.
I think I saw them. Was it a last-minute shot that he made?
Yes.
A three-point? Yeah. What a great shot.
In fact, what makes it even better is the one kid that passed it to the other kid, they're brothers. They're brothers from Waseca, Minnesota.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. And they're both
good for
them. Unbelievably good. And it's cool because I had the chance to go to three or four games this year. And it's because, again, when I was in school, they had a basketball team, but they were okay. We would maybe go to a game here and there. But they've become... Like when I went to the Taylor, because Glenn Taylor built them the Taylor Center, which is right on campus.
Generous.
And it's a really, if you get the chance next year and if you got a kid that's a basketball fan, take them to a game there. Yeah. And I'm telling you why it's worth it. It's a beautiful arena. You get to sit really close to the action and you're taking your kid for $5.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nothing. And it's really good basketball. But it was so cool to see. And I know they had a, I think they had scheduled a parade, but because of the weather, I think they did everything indoors instead, right there on campus.
What?
Yesterday it was pouring in Mankato.
Oh, it was. Yeah, rain and not snow.
Yeah, so they decided to move everything indoors. Right. So I saw some of the clips and footage and things that were circulating on social media, but it was cool to see, like, oh yeah, I went to school there.
Sure.
And to see them being put on like the national stage was pretty freaking cool.
Was the girls' game close, or did they just...
The girls' game wasn't as close as the boys'. I think they won by 6, but they had a couple of close games leading up to
was
the championship
93
game.
93 or...
I can't remember.
What a dink thing for me
no,
to say.
No, but it was
just a joke. Actually, I've watched more female college basketball than men's college basketball.
You got suckered in last night, didn't you?
I got suckered into everything.
Yeah.
All Caitlin Clark. That's all I can tell.
All Caitlin Clark all the time.
Yep. That's all I got.
So,
what are they calling her? What are they, what's her nickname? I thought it was,
I don't know.
White chocolate. It was something really cool. Okay. It was super cool like that. It was super smooth.
Well, the neatest thing she did, I thought, was did you see after the game where they're huddling? Yeah, we're going back to the Final Four. Mm. And she has the game ball. Caitlin Clark.
Sure.
Has the game ball. And she passes it to her brother in the stance.
Oh, really?
And absolutely drills him in the chest.
Just perfectly.
A perfect pass from, it had to have been 100 feet away.
I really enjoyed when she was complaining and the dad told her to shut up.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, ooh.
Yeah.
That's pretty, like, hey, shut up. I mean, she is revolutionizing women's sports. People are paying a ton of attention to her, and rightfully so. Nothing's cooler than walking across midcourt and saying, I got a real chance of making a three here, so I'm just going to go ahead and take
I'm just going to jackpot up from right here.
Like, I've, you know, in my lifetime, thrown a bunch of balls in from half court, like playing around, but I don't think ever in a game scenario have I ever made a three-point shot. Like, all the times I played as a kid.
Even in the backyard.
And then, I just never, like, in a game, I've never actually made one.
Yeah.
And when she's making them from near half court with complete impunity, where she's like, I'm doing this, I don't care.
Well, and you do see the difference in, I mean, you can even see it, not to bring it back to the trip, but you can even see it when you're watching different levels of guys playing spring training baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, this kid's got no shot.
Sure.
He's just here because he's a body.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Isn't that sad?
I forgot to tell you one of the craziest stories. So I know. We're at the Brewers Rockies spring training game on Monday afternoon.
Oh my goodness.
And so, I don't know if you saw this, but my son's, we got our pictures taken with the lineup of the Milwaukee Sausages.
I did not see that.
Because they had a sausage race, like they always do at the Brewer games.
It wasn't a festival?
No. They it's seventh inning, and the five sausages race against each other.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
And so we said, hey, number four, you know, we're here to celebrate number four, and we're lined up with all of them. And, all, you know, a bunch of kids were getting their picture with them, too. And number five commented on my photo on Twitter and saying, yeah, I got screwed.
Oh, it was hilarious. Funny. Okay.
That's not what I wanted to share. But that same day, we're getting settled in, and I bought us lawn seats because my wife loves to just sit on the grass in the sunshine and doesn't care what the score is. She just wants to be at the ballpark, right? Mm-hmm. So they sat on the grass, and I was trying to be really careful about not getting fried the first day that we were there. Yeah. So I'm standing about 30 feet away from them under the canopy of the stadium, the grandstand. And so I'm standing there, and right next to me are two women. One's in a wheelchair. She was probably 90. And then another woman who was a little bit younger but had the walker.
Okay.
So they're sitting in that, what you call it, the wheelchair accessible area.
Sure,
that's
that
kind of
fenced in area.
Correct.
Yeah.
And next to them was, I'm assuming, one of their sons who's probably in his early 70s. And they were super sweet. They had their Brewers shirts on. And we were down the third baseline. And keep in mind, when you're at a spring training game, you're close to the action, right?
Yeah, you're really close.
And I've been in a ballpark every day of my life, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I know to always, you got to watch the batter.
You got to pay attention.
You got to pay attention. Yeah. You got to watch the batter. So we're down the third baseline, and left-handed hitter Jake Cave for the Rockies, former Twin, is up to bat. And he kind of slaps at a fastball to just try to fight off strike three. And this thing is screaming right for us.
Really?
Because I'm standing right next to these three people. To the point where I can tell in a split second, like, one of them is going to die.
Yeah, if I don't catch this.
Well, and I'm behind them.
Yeah, okay.
So I scream, heads up! Mm. And some in front of them in a seat is some 34-year-old guy who is not sober.
Okay.
And thank God he wasn't, because he stood up like, I'm going to catch it. And it ricocheted off of his bare hand, preventing it from hitting this, and potentially killing this elderly woman.
Yeah.
And it rocketed up off of his hand, and it went, you know, and then went down the aisle, and some kids. But this guy saved this woman's life, and I am not exaggerating.
Isn't that nice?
Because it would have really done some damage. I'm fearful of that.
Just think if you would have seen that, and she would have died, you would have never been able to go to another baseball game
ever again.
Life.
It would have totally dampened all the next two games that I had planned to go to.
You went to a Brewers what game?
Brewers Rockies.
And then what other game did you go to?
So that was Monday, Mike. And then on Tuesday, the Diamondbacks played at their own stadium, which was really neat because I did want to go to their stadium as long as we were down there. Mm-hmm. And they hosted an exhibition game against Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So we did, and we got decent seats at a fairly low price. The problem is they're selling their concessions for the exact same price that they would for a regular season.
$11 beers or $12 beers. Did you, Do you have a scorecard there, and are you keeping score? Are you keeping, like, you know, that guy got a bunt? You're doing that.
I would
do that. Because
that
would be the sweetest thing in the world.
Because I want to show my sons how to do the book.
Okay.
And they've been around the game enough to know kind of how to score certain things. Because my little guy, my 9-year-old, he's all about, like, the numbers and the math and all that stuff. So he loves, because he helps to do the book for his older brother's team when he tags along.
Sure.
And I think that's just good for him to learn how to do all that stuff.
So when you sit down and look at the book, do you say, I remember when that guy bunted and stole home?
Yep.
And because you can see it there.
Yeah.
So it's like baseball idiot braille, right? You can just see it, and you're just like, I remember that game so much, that exhibition game between the Diamondbacks and someone else.
So you'll love this part too. So the biggest thing was when we went there, and where the ballpark is in Phoenix, it's very cool because they have a lot of cool bars and restaurants around the ballpark. In fact, where the Suns play basketball, it's a block maybe away from where the baseball stadium is. Mm-hmm. And that whole area is developed with cool sports bars and stuff. It's really neat. And so we went there to one of the places beforehand so the boys could get something to eat. Dad could have a quick beer, and then we could walk into the baseball stadium. And I saw the prices at the concession stand. Because, of course, what do they need right away? Well, we want something to drink.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
We just went, fine, whatever. Yeah. So I said, well, let's go sit down and watch a little bit of the game first. We go down. I'm like, well, God, this is going to cost me like $100 just to go to the concession stand. But then she says, oh, hey, look, there was a sign for the kids menu.
Ooh.
In section 122 or whatever. Yeah, let's walk over there because we wanted to walk around and see the ballpark anyway. So we go to section 122, and there wasn't many people at this game, so the concourses weren't packed. It was perfect. Although my youngest was really mad that we didn't get seats, but we're by the pool in the Diamondbacks, because Diamondbacks have a pool in their stadium.
Sure.
So I see the kids menu, all items $2.99, children 12 and under.
Perfect.
We walk up. I order the hot dog. Here comes the hot dog. It's basically the size of a little Smokey.
Oh, you're kidding.
With the bun. And then I got him a root beer, which was basically
like a Dixie cup.
It's half the size of a can of Coke.
Oh, okay.
It's you know those like fun size cans?
Sure, yeah.
It was smaller than that.
Oh no.
And I'm thinking, come on. What is this?
Yes.
Why even bother?
Yeah, why insult us with that?
And I just thought, and it's again, God bless the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're trying.
Yeah, they were trying.
Anyway,
I did have some sporting events with my daughter. We played a couple rounds of golf down there.
Oh,
right?
Fantastic.
And my daughter, I've been playing golf all my life. 5-6 years old, I started playing, and I'm not good, but I can hit the ball long, and I feel like I can do some things.
You play.
I play.
Yep.
And sometimes, if I can chip or putt, like I'd shoot really well. This day, I could not chip or putt when we played on Friday. But my daughter gets up onto a tee. It's a 232-yard par 4 from the women's tee.
How experienced is she?
She's played golf for fun with her friends.
Sure.
Doesn't play on the golf team, doesn't do anything. She misses a hole-in-one by about 1 inch.
Shut
232
up.
Yards. I would have freaking killed her, Reavers. If she would have gotten... I've never had a hole-in-one. If she would have gotten a hole-in-one on a par 4 in Florida, not really caring whether she's there or not, I would have murdered her. I was like, thank God she. It was the most selfish thing I've ever done in my entire life, and she was playing great. She was playing great, and I would have been. It kind of ruined the round for me because I thought if that would have happened, I would have had to take her out of the car and said, "No, you got to walk." Right? Because I would have had to penalize her somehow. She doesn't have any money, so I would have had to buy drinks for everybody.
Yep.
Unacceptable. Right? There would have been so many. I would have made her pay me back for every drunk guy who needed a beer because my 16-year-old daughter got a hole in one on a par four. It would have been unbelievably cool. She was out driving everybody. Everybody that we were playing with. Not me.
You know,
FYI.
You know what would have been really cool? Is if she would have got the hole in one.
Yes.
She would have turned to you. She would have put said club back in the bag and said, I'm good.
I'm done. I'll never play another time.
I'll never play it again.
You know, she's such a cool character. This is my daughter, Adelaide, right? She's such a cool character. She would have said, oh, hey, I got a hole in one. Like, it wouldn't have been.
It wouldn't have fazed her.
It wouldn't have fazed her. She would have been kind of. She's played so little golf. She would have said, well, doesn't everybody get a hole in one every once in a while? Yeah, like every 15,000 shots. So, yeah, it doesn't happen that much. And very few people get a hole in one on a par four. Some ladies do, right?
Sure.
Because it's a little shorter. And I was playing from way back. So my hole was like 380 yards and hers. So she was kind of cheating, whatever. She's a darn right cheater. I mean, I was so proud of her, though. She was playing so cool. She was playing with my dad and my cousin, right?
That's cool, man.
And she was just playing so sweet. And I thought I could play with her every day like this, unless she beats me, and then I'll never play with her again. That's why I don't know how my dad plays with me, although I think he beat me that day.
Sure.
But I don't know what it feels like to have your son just best you all the time. He listens to this show religiously. FYI. So he's going to give me a bunch of crap. Well, I'm glad you had a great vacation. I'm glad you wasted 15 hours of it watching baseball. Not playing baseball, just watching baseball.
Watching baseball. Yeah, capped off by the epic thriller of the Arizona State Sun Devils and the Cal Bears.
Yeah.
On Thursday night.
It's an important.
I got to say, though, if you are the baseball coach at Arizona State,
it's a good gig.
You have no better recruiting tool than just take them there at 7 o'clock on a whatever night.
Yeah.
The sun sets off of the Red Rocks outside of your freaking ballpark.
It's beautiful.
It's unbelievable.
Yep.
And then if you walk the young man through the stands.
Yes.
That's going to seal the deal.
Yeah, I have two daughters that want to go to ASU, and I said, let's go. Let's get down there.
It's a nice campus.
Yeah.
It's a nice campus.
Reavers, you are the best.
Please do us a favor. Rate and review the show wherever you happen to be listening to the Weekly Scramble. We would really appreciate it. His name is Mike Fratelloni. My name is Chris Reavers. We'll talk to you again next week. Until then, cheers.